Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Good morning. I have going to be joining me today, Stephanie Engelman. And I hope I said that right. I was going to ask her again when we connected, but we are having connection problems. But we will have Stephanie here. She's either going to call in any second now at 573-4BREAD-4, in case you need that number, Stephanie. or we're going to try during the break. The good thing is that Allison always has a million things to say. So until I get Stephanie on here, we can just chat. Stephanie and I are going to be talking about A Single Bead. This is her young adult fiction book about from Pauline Books and Media. If you remember back in February 12th, 2016, this year, she came on the show and we talked. It's that podcast, breadboxmedia.podbean.com. Oh, there she is available for you to listen to. We're going to try something crazy. We're going to try to add her to the call while we're live. You just never know. Radio's crazy stuff. Stephanie, do I have you?
I am here.
Praise God. Welcome to the show, Stephanie.
Sorry about that.
That is okay. Well, we are live and we're so happy to have you with us. Crazy technology stuff. So hopefully I remembered your last name correctly. Is it Engelman?
It is.
Oh, praise God. It's the little things, Stephanie, that make me happy. Well, welcome back to A Seeking Heart.
Thank you, Allison. I'm very happy to be here.
I so enjoyed our conversation last time you were here. I was just telling everybody that was February 12th, 2016. You can go to breadboxmedia.podbean.com to listen to our complete discussion about your wonderful book, A Single Bead. Actually, my husband just entered into the diaconate candidacy last night. We had a beautiful mass with our bishop.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you. And one of the wives and I, she's just just blew my mind that she listens regularly. And we were talking about your interview and I sent her a copy of your book, A Single Bead. So we were just talking about it last night, how wonderful it is. Perhaps you could just give us a brief synopsis to what A Single Bead is about.
Sure. A Single Bead is the story of a teenage girl named Kate, whose grandmother died a year before in a plane crash. And her grandmother was a wonderful, faith-filled woman who prayed the rosary many, many times a day. And she had a rosary that was custom-made for her family that had the initials of each of her children and each of her grandchildren on it. So at the memorial at the crash site for her grandmother, Kate wanders away from the rest of the family and ends up finding a bead from her grandmother's rosary. And it's not just any bead, but it's the bead that actually bears Kate's initials. Mm. So then she learns that one other person has found a bead and that they have this miraculous experience that they are attributing to the bead. And then she and her cousin set out to find more beads. And ultimately she winds up as she sees that her mom is spiraling into depression. She's really looking for her mom's bead, thinking that that bead is going to help her mom. Mm.
It was such a gripping story. One of the things we were talking about last night, Janice and I, were that you know, it's written for the audiences for a young adult, but the two of us were just gripped by it. She was so cute. She was asking me like some of the plot. She's like, is this going to happen? I'm like, I'm so not telling you. I said, just trust me. You won't be disappointed. I love that it's so readable for an adult, because one of the things about being a parent is that I want to read things that my children are reading so we can discuss it. But like my boys wanted to read just Captain Underpants and the Bone series. I wasn't interested.
I read the first page of Captain Underpants and I said, you are not allowed to read this. It's not proper English. We are not reading something that is such terrible English.
I know, you're such a better mom than I am. Like, oh, no, no, you can read it. I'm just not reading it with you.
Well, sometimes I'm just so happy that my boys will read anything.
Oh, absolutely.
But I had to put my foot down. I figured Captain Underpants, it couldn't be going anywhere good.
No, no, you were 100% correct. Actually, I want to mention while I'm thinking about it, Monday, June 20th, Jamie Stewart Wolf is going to be here. She is one of the editors from Pauline Books and Media, and her and I are going to be discussing reluctant readers and some of the reading that you can consider for this summer will not be Captain Underpants.
Well, I am marking that on my calendar.
Yeah, I'm very excited that she is available. I reached out to Pauline Books and Media and to Kathy and said, I would love to have somebody on to talk about. And she seems like the perfect choice because she is their editor and she's edits most of their young adult and their children fiction. So
mm-hmm. She edited choice. A single bead.
Well, there you go. So now we know she's very good at her job. She's awesome. And yeah. She's just such a fun person to talk to. And I had the blessing of endorsing her book, Adoption, Room for One More, ? So wonderful things happening in the Catholic publishing world.
Yes,
so we've just loved. So I just loved the book. And one of the things, I have a couple questions about the book. And then in the next segment, we'll talk about update, how Ray is doing, how your family's doing, God's providence. And at the end of the show, we're going to talk about ideas for the summer for your family. It's a kid-friendly summer, faith-filled summer activities for kids. That's our kind of our overall show for today. But one of the things is, first, how has the reaction to the book been?
You know, it's been a lot of fun. It has been so, so exciting to see the wide demographic of people who are really enjoying the book. Mm-hmm. And, you know, initially when Pauline took a look at who they thought would enjoy this book, I think the demographic was Catholic girls age 12 to 16 who come from large, devout Catholic families. And at the time I was kind of disappointed, you know, like, wow, I had really hoped to reach an audience larger than that. And, you know, okay, God, if it's your will, let's go way beyond this little pigeonhole. And sure enough, I've just been shocked by the number of Protestants who have read the book and told me that they loved it and really? That they've shared it with friends, that they are taking it to their church to have it put in their church library.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mother-daughter book clubs that are reading it that are Protestant.
Yeah, that's really cool. That's one of the things I was just thinking about this morning. That's weird that you said that. Is there just such a need for mother-daughter books, book clubs? Somebody just asked me just a few weeks ago if I knew any mother-daughter retreats. And I said, no, I actually hadn't heard of any, but that's so wonderful. Now, next time they say that or get that question, I'll say, well, pick up a single bead and create your own.
There you go. Yeah. And, you know, my parents aren't Catholic. And, you know, I knew they would read the book, but I thought that they would, you know, kind of read it at arm's length. And in fact, they read it and they said, you know, they've raved about it. They've shared it with their pastor and their friends. And, you know, they just have really emphasized that, Stephanie, you know, yes, the rosary plays a major part in this book, but that's not what it's all about. It's about the power of prayer, and that speaks to all Christians. Mm-hmm. So it's been very exciting. My son's sixth grade class read it in their religion class. So 70 kids at his school read the book all together. And then I heard reports back from parents who texted me and said, my daughter just took out my instructions on how to pray the rosary and started praying the rosary.
Wow. That's very cool.
So it's been very cool. Very, very fun.
That's neat. The other question I have is anyone ever asked you yet, or I'm sure multiple times, where do you get a rosary like that?
Yes, they have. I'm afraid it doesn't exist. But I did talk to a gentleman at a Catholic bookstore in South Bend, Indiana, who makes rosaries, and his store is next door to an engraver's shop.
No way.
And I just happened to stop by to, you know, drop off a review copy of the book for him. And he says, well, geez, you know, I think we could do this. So I told him to stay in touch and that if he starts making them, I will get the word out.
I'm telling you, that is the one question I get from people. And one of the things, my friend and I make rosary bracelets, and one of the things that she created was a full rosary with children's names on them. So you can, I thought that was, it's like the whole decade is a person, you know, the child's name with the colored beads in between. And it's, they're beautiful and they're so personalized. But, you know, the vision of this engraved silver bead just really captured a lot of people's imagination and thought, oh, how beautiful that set would be.
Yes.
I think we need to get some marketing going on that. I know I would want a set. We're talking this morning with Stephanie Engelman. She is the author of A Single Bead, out from Pauline Books and Media. She also blogs on afewbeadsshort.com. Do I have that correct?
Yes, you do.
Good, because I meant to go look. I'm like, that's from my memory. I should probably make sure before I say it out loud, but I didn't. And
yes.
And I loved today's blog. It was actually probably yesterday's blog. I shared it over at A Seeking Heart, also on Reconcile to You, over on where is it? Facebook. That's where it is. Oh, my goodness. You know what? I get up so early and I spend like all these hours with myself. And then it comes 10 o'clock and I need to, you know, talk to people. My brain's like, oh, wait, outside words from your mouth. I'm so excited to have Stephanie Engelman back. And I hope that you'll stay tuned. We have a lot more to talk about, including an update on her husband, Ray. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Yes, Alex gave me the cue that there was 10 seconds left, and I still talk. I have such a problem. We're talking this morning with Stephanie Engelman. She is the author of A Single Bead, out from Pauline Books and Media. For more information, go to pauline.org, or you can also visit afewbeadsshort.com, Stephanie's wonderful blog. Before we pick up with Stephanie, I want to remind you that you can now become a friend of the show. Visit breadboxmedia.com for more information, and for a support of $10 a month or more, you can become a premium member of A Seeking Heart. And to you, that would mean either a choice of a prayer squirrel or a rosary bracelet made by me. 10 extra entries into every giveaway this week. Actually, this week and next, this two-week giveaway, we're giving away a copy of Risen, the movie Risen, along with A Little Sin Means a Lot, out now from Elizabeth Scalia. It's so incredible. Or you could win one of three copies of Stephanie Engelman's wonderful book, A Single Bead. Thank you to Pauline Books and Media. Or a copy of next week's gift guest, which I would guest, Grief of Grace. There was just too many G's in front of me on the screen to read. A copy of Grief to Grace from Jeannie Ewing. And I'm so excited about this friend of the show and of this giveaway. I know, I can't wait to have Jeannie back on. And you also get an exclusive content, including a monthly Google Hangout with me, where you have an opportunity to talk instead of listen. Okay, commercial interruption over. Visit breadboxmedia.com, friend of the show, for more information. And now let's pick back up with my guest, Stephanie Engelman, A Single Bead author. So, Stephanie, please tell us how Ray is doing.
He is doing very, very well. He went to a specialized neurological rehabilitation facility in Michigan, which is about 4 hours away from us.
Refresh my memory. So when he had the heart attack, he had one type of brain injury from lack of oxygen. And then during his rehabilitation, he had a fall. Is that correct for the different?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And honestly, the biggest, by far the biggest injury here that we're really struggling with is this anoxic brain injury that he suffered from lack of oxygen when he had the heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
So he's walking and he's talking, and when he was at home, he was able to help around the house. He could do dishes and things like that, but he still has a very, very long road ahead of him. We've been told that it'll be at least a year, probably more, before he can work again. He most likely will never be able to do the same job again.
Mm-hmm.
Ray had a brilliant mind, and, he will almost certainly, short of a miracle, never be 100% again.
Wow.
But right now he is in this wonderful facility up in Michigan. It's wonderful. It's absolutely the best place. We miss him so much, but he is getting 5 to 6 hours or more of therapy every day.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Wow. That is a gift.
Yes, it is. It's huge. And, this is where God's providence, one of the many places where we see God's providence. We had been trying to get him into this facility since January was when we did the initial evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
And health insurance companies almost never pay for facilities like this, which I did not know at the time.
Oh.
So we were battling against the health insurance company who said, we'll pay for it, but it's going to be out of network. And, we'll pay this percentage, you're going to pay this percentage. Well, we could have afforded like a day, which was not going to accomplish much for Ray. So we kept going back and asking for this gap exception, and it was taking all these months. And we had this wonderful case manager from our health insurance company who was so sweet and such an advocate for us. And I knew like her heart was in this. And she, when I talked to her on the phone, I know there were times when she was teary-eyed over our situation.
Wow.
And, I would talk to her and she'd say, "Stephanie, I'm working so hard. I know they've got to let Ray have this. He needs it so badly. Your family needs it." And I just had this, the whole time, I was like, I appreciate so much what she's doing, but I just have this feeling like God is going to, if God wants this to happen, mm-hmm. he's going to make it happen, and it's going to happen in his own time, and his time is going to be better than right now. Like mm-hmm. clearly Ray is not meant to go to Michigan right now.
It's interesting, as you were saying that, I was just writing some notes here, and I thought, that delay gave you guys that time at home with him to help you prepare to be separated. That's how I see some of that.
It also made it harder to let him go.
Oh, okay.
From that perspective, honestly, it would have been so much easier. He had been in the hospital for almost 3 months,
mm-hmm.
and we had grown used to not having him home.
Mm.
So the, natural progression of him then going from one facility to another would have been, I think, easier from that standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
But what I wasn't really fully grasping or fully understanding was how difficult the summer was going to be for him. We have a small house with 5 children and all wood floors. It's really loud.
Oh, gosh.
All the time. And something that's just intrinsic to brain injury is that noise is very annoying, very irritating, very hard to cope with. The lack of routine. I mean, I'm not a routine person.
Oh,
for us during the summer to have had a routine and a schedule would have been next to impossible. For me to spend the time that I would have needed to spend with Ray, helping him with his therapy, mm-hmm. would have been next to impossible. There are just all these things that would have made the summer a really difficult time.
What are the age ranges of your children that go from baby to?
I always go from the top down.
Oh. Sorry.
12, 10, 8, 6 in a few days, and 1. 12, 10, 8. So, yeah.
Wow.
And a dog.
I was going to ask, I was thinking about the hardwood floors. I said, thinking to myself, kids are noisy, but there's nothing more grating sometimes than the pitter-patter of dog nails. Yes.
We have those too. And he barks. Not a lot, but he does bark. Just for some added noise.
Yes.
So ultimately, we got the approval. Ray had been home, I don't know the timing of it all, but he had been home for a couple of months and things had really been going pretty well. But then there was one day where I'm like coasting along. I'm feeling pretty good about things, but I'm totally sleep deprived because I did not have enough time to do everything. Mm-hmm. And we met with Ray's neuropsychologist, who said basically he's plateauing. He's not making the progress he needs to. And it's because he's not doing his exercises at home. And Stephanie, you need to be spending more time with him, helping him do his exercises at home, which really was a 2 to 3 hour process. Wow. Every day.
Wow. Are these like a physical exercise or not a mental exercise? Or are they both?
It's both.
Okay.
So they were saying, you know, if he's plateaued, then we can't continue to treat him. And so these words just kept playing through my mind. I'm not doing enough. I'm not doing enough. I'm not doing enough. And it was just this huge weight on my shoulders. And I wrote a blog post about this, but I broke. Like I just, that was it. That was all I could take. Like I was just done. I sobbed my way through the next couple of days because I felt like I wasn't being a good enough mother to my children. I wasn't being a good enough wife to my husband. I wasn't doing anything to promote my book or write on my blog or, you know, do any of the, or build a business. You know, we're going on long-term disability. So that has a whole new impact on things. You know, I'm not doing anything 100% and everything's falling. And I wrote a blog post about how, you know, that just forced me to fall on my knees and humble myself and say, okay, God, obviously I can't do this. I have to just rely on you. But then what he gave me, his awesome gift the next day, was the phone call that Stephanie, the insurance company didn't change their minds, but Ray's employer said, we want him to have these services. We're going to pay the difference.
I got goosebumps. I'm going to cry. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. So...
wow.
Suddenly, you know, here I am. No, I can't do it all. Well, you know what? Somebody else is going to take Ray and give him 5 to 6 hours of therapy a day.
You know, and I, the minute you said the words, I fell to my knees. I thought, oh, God's coming. That's where I usually find him.
Yes, absolutely. It's when you're trying to stand up and bear the weight and do it yourself that you don't feel him.
Nope. It's usually right about time I get to my knees and or my face.
Exactly. If your face is flat on the floor.
You found God.
You have.
We're talking this morning with Stephanie Engelman. She's the author of A Single Bead, out from Pauline Books and Media. She also blogs over at afewbeadsshort.com. We're talking today about, just thank you so much for that wonderful update on Ray. We've been thinking about him and praying about him. I'm so happy that the Lord has provided you a place for him to get the help he needs so that you can be more available for the kids this summer. Isn't it funny how we just put on so many, not the burdens, but expectations on ourselves? Like we think we should be wearing a cape. Like I can do it all, but that the Lord's like, you don't need to do it all of that. Yoke yourself with me and I will help. And you're just teasing that you find God when you get to your knees, but it's truly where I find him the most often. When we come back, we're going to look at God's providence a little bit more and how amazing it is when you go to your knees where you find him at work in your life. We're talking again with Stephanie Engelman, and you're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingrich here on Redbox Media. We'll be right back.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Jenkins here on Redbox Media. I am joined today by Stephanie Engelman. She was here back on February 12th of this year, and we talked a lot about her wonderful book, A Single, I can't even talk some days, all right, every day, but A Single Bead. It's getting worse in the allergy season. Out from Pauline Books and Media. For more information, go to pauline.org or afewbeadshort.com. And after I had Stephanie on, I got a lot of feedback, wonderful feedback, and how much they enjoyed listening to Stephanie, and they wanted to hear more from her. They wanted an update on Ray and on her life. And Stephanie, I know that you talked about God's providence, and you've been wanting to write a blog post about it, which I'm sure you will eventually get to. But since we have you, blog out loud, as I like to say.
But then I can't go back and edit and delete what I shouldn't have said.
Yes, there's that.
That is the beauty of writing.
Exactly. But you're safe with me because you really can't do any worse than I do usually.
Oh, you might be surprised.
So share with us, what else has God been doing?
So, you know, I mean, there are just so many little things, and it's hard to pick any one, but it's that every time I've started to, you know, to recognize, and honestly, like, it's been a remarkable experience because most of the time I have not been worried through, I mean, Ray's heart attack was November 18th. So we're going on 7 months. Wow. And most of the time I really, as long as I've been, you know, keeping up with my God connection, I have not felt worry. I have not felt anxiety. And I hate to talk finances, but I think that that's something that plagues so many people. So I'm going to go there, even though my parents told me not to when I was growing up.
Oh no, please go there.
So I have known, I mean, thank God we had elected long-term disability. If everybody out there, if you don't have long-term disability, get it, because Ray was healthy. We had no reason to think that anything was going to happen to him. He did not do a dangerous job. He did, you know, we had no reason to think he was going to get hurt. And it was only recently that we had elected long-term disability.
He even looked like a runner. I don't know if he was, but
he wasn't. I mean, he looked healthy. Yeah. He was very thin.
Yeah.
And you just, you know, you kind of assumed that because he was thin, he was healthy. Mm-hmm. In reality, he probably did not eat as well as he should have. And he didn't sleep as much as he should have. And he, you know, maybe had some other habits that were not promoting good health. but nonetheless, I mean, he was a 43-year-old guy. His family had no history of heart disease. You know, we have no reason to worry about this, but we elected long-term disability, but our long-term disability election was for 66% of his income.
Wow. Praise God.
And, well,
but I know after I said it, I
had the 66%, but oh no, what are we going to do without the other 34?
All right. Good point.
That's right there. I have like this tiny little writing business that, you know, I've really just never thrown myself into. I've got a couple of clients that, you know, it just kind of floats along and does its own thing. And I write and that's all well and good, but it's by no means, you know, enough to fill that 34%. Mm-hmm. A single bead is doing well, but again, it's not enough to fill the 34%. But I've just all along, it's been like, okay, God, like I just knew God was going to provide. I didn't know how. I knew that, you know, I can't just sit back and wait for it to happen, that God needs me to take action in order to make this happen. But ultimately, the way that things appear to be progressing, and we're still early days, but literally, he is just almost sending checks from random things at the most random, not the most random times, like at the very moment that 66% isn't going to be enough, there's another, you know, check set to come from this or from that, you know, work that I've done that I'm now getting paid for, that it's almost like, it's providence. That's the only way I can see it is, Stephanie, you did this work years ago, and now you're getting paid for it when you need it most. Because if you had gotten this years ago, you would have blown it on new shoes.
Oh, I feel you, girl. Like, I totally get that.
Now you can buy milk.
Yes. That, you know, that something very similar just happened to me recently, where I got a check and I thought, oh, like the delay from this was so annoying. But then I realized, almost exactly like you said, now I could buy heat for the house instead of the shoes and the clothes or going out to eat or something that is fun. I mean, we do need clothes, but I don't need probably as much as I have. If you can't close your drawer, you probably have enough.
Yes.
Amazing. Oh my gosh.
So it's just been truly beautiful. And, you know, I can't see the path clearly in front of us, but I'm just, God has shown me again and again that I just need to trust and pray and act on whatever those prayers, you know, tell me to do. And that path is going to open up. And with my little freelance writing business, you know, as we've kind of progressed to this point of, okay, we're getting to this, you know, long-term disability, clients started falling in my lap, literally new clients.
That's incredible.
And it's okay, God, thank you. You know, I mean, these are people that I didn't have the time to go out and market until Ray was in Michigan. And so, you know, they literally fell in my lap. I was not pounding the pavement, you know, marketing my business.
You know, just recently, a couple of things. We were talking, preparing for the show, and there was something you said to me that I brought to prayer. And you said that the Lord had given you all the gifts and the talents you needed to provide what you needed, like through His providence. His providence is gave you the talents you needed. And so I brought that to prayer, and I was like, all right, Lord, what is it that I have that I'm not using completely? And it's already starting to show great fruit and transformation in my life. But it was that also that giving over to God, like trust is one of those crazy things that you don't know if you trust God until you trust God.
Right.
Like you can say it, but then you actually have to step out. And I was led to Matthew 6. I talked about this on yesterday's show in great length. And as I was praying about what you had said and about trusting God and thinking about my roof and my furnace and in my car, I call it the jalopy for a reason, a cardinal landed on the bird feeder right in front of me. And if you go to Matthew 6, because I was thinking I can't serve both God and money. And when I got to Matthew 6 and I read the entire thing, it talks about the birds and how if the Lord provides in their food and their shelter and their clothing and the beautiful feathers, how much more will He provide for you, who is much more worth to Him than a bird?
Mm-hmm.
And just how the Lord not only provides, but then He also provides His comfort to us through the words of other people that He puts in our life, through the scriptures. You know, definitely, first and foremost, I find that reading the scriptures bring me so much closer to God. When you said you doing your keeping up your God connection, what is it, Stephanie, that you do? I'm talking again today with Stephanie Engelman, author of A Single Bead. What is it, Stephanie, that you do to kind of keep your God connection?
Well, obviously I pray the rosary. that's a very big part. And I, you know, I have times where life shifts and changes and that routine doesn't fit in. You know, when I normally would have done it, my life has changed and I stop praying the rosary and I feel this increasing distance. The longer that I go without that prayer, the more I feel that distance. So I really try to make sure that is a part of my daily life. And
I was going to say, do you have any suggestions or how do you build it into your life? Because people think it's so long, they're never going to get through it.
And, you know, well, it's actually interesting you say that because I have started, when we drive to Michigan to visit Ray, I pray a full rosary with the kids in the car when we start our trip, or at least I try to.
Mm-hmm.
And when we did that on our way up to Michigan last Saturday, we had been in the car we'd probably been in the car for 40 minutes because I don't start praying until we're kind of out of town. And my son, who is not a big, like, this is not my holier than thou kid, you know, but he was sitting in the front seat next to me and he said, wow, Mom, we've already been driving for 40 minutes. That's just flown by.
Wow.
And I said, well, you know why? And he said, well, we prayed the rosary. I was like, yes, it was the perfect use of our time. Yeah. Like, yeah, this is a great trip so far. And that felt like our shortest trip. I don't know why, but that one Saturday in particular felt like a really wonderful short trip. So I pray the rosary. I try to multitask because my goal every day, I rarely achieve this anymore. I used to, but I rarely do anymore. I want to pray a 15-decade rosary every day. So I pray it. I've now started. I found a friend who I wake up early and walk with every morning, and we pray the rosary together.
Yep, that's when I pray mine.
Yep. I've heard stories, and I've done this for like mothers who maybe have babies sleeping, and so you can't leave the house, walking around the house.
Yep.
And praying the rosary as you walk around your house. And what an awesome thought to be encircling your home in prayer like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I do it while I drive. I pray while I fold the laundry. Mm-hmm. And I use charity beads to mark the Hail Marys.
That's a great idea. What's it for someone not familiar, what is a charity bead?
This is derived from St. Therese of Lisieux, I do believe.
Yes, it is.
And it's, you have 10 beads that you can pull along on the string. You can Google how to make them.
Mm-hmm. And that's actually pretty along. Here. I'm going to put the link. We think so much alike. Crazy.
But you pull the Hail Mary or the bead over to mark for St. Therese of Lisieux. It was the little things that you were doing every day.
We're going to pick up more with Stephanie Engelman, the charity beads, the rosary, how we keep our God connection, so much more. Don't go anywhere. We have much more with Stephanie Engelman right here on A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart. I almost did a single bead. Welcome back. There's just too many S's and G's on my papers today. All right, Allison, I'm not even with people. I don't have my glasses on. No reason to be vain by myself. So A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We are joined today by Stephanie Engelman. She is the author of A Single Bead, Pauline Books and Media, pauline.org for more information. And I'm hearing myself. Alex, why am I hearing myself? I mean, I like myself, but I don't think... Oh, there we go. It's gone. Like, I don't need to hear myself. That's enough of me. Just want to remind you to check out Friend of the Show on breadboxmedia.com for $10 or more a month support for A Seeking Heart. And it's just for A Seeking Heart. You become a premium member where you can get your choice of a prayer scroll or a rosary bracelet, 10 extra entries on every giveaway. This week, I'm giving away Risen movie or Little Sin Means a Lot by Elizabeth Scalia, 3 copies of Stephanie's incredible book, A Single Bead, thanks to Pauline Books and Media, and Grief to Grace, Jeannie Ewing. She will be my guest, and that'll be our focus of next week's show. So lots of great stuff happening. Once a month, Google Hangout. Go check out breadboxmedia.com, Friend of the Show, and become a friend of A Seeking Heart today. Pretty pleased with sugar on top. So now back to Stephanie Engelman. Stephanie, we were talking about God's providence and about how you pray during the day. And you were talking a little bit about our next topic, which is friendly activity, faith-filled summer activities, friendly activities for kids. And one of those is to pray the rosary. And I love how you talk about praying it in the car. I could never get my kids to pray the rosary in the house. But when I have them as a captive audience in the car,
mm-hmm. They don't have a choice.
They don't. And it did make our family road trips go much quicker. And I felt like we were kind of offering that veil of protection as well.
Right.
What other things do you have planned for your kids this summer?
Well, you know, another beautiful thing that I do with my kids, and I honestly don't do it during the summer because our evenings tend to be a little hectic and this doesn't fit in very well. But if you have a more normal evening life, I pray a decade of the rosary with each child as I tuck them in at night.
That's so sweet. And how convenient you have five children.
I have five children. I did it even when I only had four. but I found that, you know, that really, that helps me get my daily rosary. That really helps with getting the 15 decades in. But then it also, I mean, I could just see my children change as I did that night after night with them. Wow. So I highly recommend that. Honestly, our lives are so hectic that right now with Ray being in Michigan, we're going to Michigan most weekends. I am trying to build a business, so I'm not with my children as much as I would like to be right now. But one thing I'm trying to do is really encouraging them in their reading and to read good Catholic books. Mm-hmm. And there are quite a few out there, not enough, not anywhere near enough, but Pauline Books and Media has lots of great books in addition to A Single Bead. There's a Facebook or an Instagram group, it's Catholic Books for Teens, mm-hmm. that has lots of great titles, lots of great authors are on there. And then, of course, some wonderful children's books. And with my kids, I really just love sitting down and reading from the children's Bible with them, you know, with my younger kids especially. And I think that that's something that sadly we just aren't, families aren't doing as much anymore, I think. And those stories are so important for the kids to know and to have ingrained in their consciousness.
Mm. I just got a copy of Chime Travelers, the rest of the series from Lisa Hendy. It's out from Servant Books. And I am trying to teach my daughter Faith to read using these books. And mm-hmm. I was excited to find that there, you know, were books that had this Catholic appeal to it. And then I found out that Sister Maria Grace also wrote a Chime Traveling series. So I reached out to Pauline Books and Media. Kathy's going to kill me because I don't remember the name of it, but I will link to it. But she's coming on. Sister Grace is coming on in the summer to talk about the Pauline Books and Media Chime Traveling series. So excited, because you're right. We need to have our children reading more, but to offer things besides Captain Underpants, not always easy.
Right. I actually, my 8-year-old's Easter basket had one of the Chime Traveler books in it. And that was a great book that I saw. Oh, I can't remember which blog it was, where it was the Easter basket full of books. And she had some great recommendations for good Catholic books that you can put, or Christian books that you can put into the kids' Easter baskets.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Obviously, you know, it's not Easter, but if you're going to go out and purchase books, isn't it so much better to have books that children can learn a lesson from, that will build their faith in one way or another, mm-hmm. than Captain Underpants or what's that one about the dumb middle school kid?
Oh, I know which one you mean, but I don't know the title of it because I don't have a middle schooler anymore when it came out. But I brought my daughter to Adoration on Tuesday night, and she's not a reader yet. That's my Faithy. We're working on it. But I brought her one of the picture Bibles that, again, I got picked up at Pauline Books and Media, one of their media outlet stores in Dedham here. And she just looked at the pictures, and I got that idea because Mike Aguilina, who was on last week talking about Angels of God, he was telling me that's how he learned the Bible stories, because his mother had given him a good picture book. So I thought that was brilliant. Why didn't I think of that? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can't teach her these stories because of her lack of understanding the language still. But honestly, pictures do help.
Right.
They paint 1,000 words. Someone said that, right?
Yes. Many someones, I think.
Yes. Do you have Vacation Bible School in your church at all?
You know, our church does not. And I, that's one thing that makes me kind of sad.
Yeah.
Our old church did. And I was actually just thinking this morning, it's a half hour away, but I thought, you know, it was such a wonderful Bible school. And it was actually a Catholic VBS, mm-hmm. Which is hard to find.
Yeah, they are.
And so I was thinking, you know, maybe we need to just go ahead and register and make the drive and just do that, because I was one of the leaders of it. And I loved it. My kids really enjoyed it as well.
I highly recommend it. You know, my oldest son is 20. He's, you know, going through that phase where he doesn't really believe or know what he believes. Or I pretty much think he just wants to be St. Augustine before St. Augustine became a saint. And so there's like that, the desire to live contrary. It's easier for you to say there is no God than for you to realize you're living a life contrary to God. But I know that in him is all the seeds that he needs to someday come back or to embrace the faith, because we did Vacation Bible School with him for over 10 years.
Wow.
That just 1 week. You know, it seems like such a small amount of time, but I know that that supported our what we were trying to teach him enough that I think it's well worth the drive. It's easy for me to say. Mine was 5 minutes away. But and to be a part of it, you know, to take that time as a volunteer as well, it means a lot for your children to see you as well.
Right.
Engaged, because it shows how important this week is to them, to you.
Right. Yes, absolutely. VBS is great. Another thing that I want to do, and I haven't done it yet, but I want to really very intentionally practice gratitude.
Oh, beautiful.
With my kids. And I want to buy gratitude journals for each of them, but I want to get them at the dollar store in my local dollar store. I just learned has closed down when I tried to go the other day.
Oh, no.
So I have to find another dollar store. And I'm going to purchase, you know, just wire-bound journals for them, allow them to decorate them in whatever way they want to. And then, again, our nights are crazy, but I thought every morning when we wake up, that'll be the first thing we do, is to write down what we're grateful for from the day before.
That is a great idea. One of the things that I'm going to do with Faithy this summer is the Jessie tree. We never have time at Christmas to do this tree. So she's only off for about 4 weeks because of her deafness. She goes 11 months a year. But I'm going to spend the summer with her. Our activity when we have that few minutes is going to be creating our Jessie tree. Jen Frost, Faith and Fabric, has a great program. You can either just print it and or color it or do it out of felt. I don't know which way we're going to go yet, but she gives me lots of options depending on how much time I have. So Faith and Fabric, Jen Frost, the Jessie tree, another great idea. So I knew, Stephanie, this was going to fly by. And it did. So we're at the end of our time. So I want to make sure people can find you, find your books, and see where you're going to be and what's going on with you. So give us where your email and everything, or not your email, but your website. Sorry.
My blog is afewbeadsshort.com, as in I'm a few beads short of a rosary. and my book is A Single Bead. It's available through Pauline booksandmedia.com. And you can follow me on Facebook as well.
And where can we, and what do you under on Facebook? How do we find you there?
I think I'm Stephanie L. Engelman.
Okay. Well, I'll make sure I linked that. And anybody that's in the area, you have a speaking engagement this weekend. Did I not see that at Barnes & Noble?
I do, up in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I will be at the Barnes & Noble speaking briefly about the writing process and then answering questions and signing books.
Wonderful. And that's at 3 p.m. on June 11th, Barnes & Noble, Jefferson Point, and Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Correct. Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, Stephanie, thank you again so much for coming back. I'm sure I will have you again because I just love speaking with you.
I will look forward to it.
My guest today was Stephanie Engelman. She is the author of A Single Bead, out from Pauline Books and Media. You've been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.